Over the weekend, there was more than a hint of spring in the air. While we're going to have cooler, more seasonal temperatures for the next couple weeks, it was a good reminder to get ready for when warm weather arrives and stays. Hi, I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, sitting in today for Larry Mueller. Good to have you along with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're going to talk about taking our exercise outdoors with Jackie Kuda-Bangsberg. She's an exercise physiologist and the UW Health's Fitness Center Manager. She also has great advice for getting and staying in shape. And Jackie, thanks so much for spending time with us today.
Thank you, Judith.
Well, we did get a little taste of spring over the weekend. It felt really good. People came out of the woodwork. It was kind of funny. While we will have cooler, more seasonal temperatures, I think, for the near future, it is actually a great time to think about getting our gear and ourselves ready to move our exercise outdoors. So let's talk about a few things to take care of. Biking is a popular activity. What should we be thinking about in the realm of biking?
I think it's a great time to get your bike tuned up, especially if you're like me and you just put it away at the end of the year. You know, now's a great time before everybody thinks that. I don't know about you, but over the weekend I was like, oh, I should make sure there's air in my tires and stuff. And had I had it ready, I'd probably have been on it, but it wasn't quite ready for me yet. So those types of things I think are important. Make sure you have a helmet. If you've had a fall and, you know, hit your helmet, you really should replace it.
I think that's a really good point, because I'm not sure that a lot of people realize they're really, I mean, they're not disposable, but they're really made for one impact.
Right. And people will look at them, and unless it's cracked or if they can visibly see the damage, they're like, oh, okay, it's okay. And really, your head is really important, and it's worth the investment in, you know, so if you have fallen off and hit your head, hit your helmet, you really should be replacing it.
Another interesting thing that I'm not sure a lot of us think about is having your bicycle professionally fitted.
Right, right. So a lot of people, you know, are doing more and more biking. And the longer you're on a bike, you know, like to take a longer ride, if your bike doesn't fit you well, two things can happen. You're just not as efficient on your bike as you'd like to be. So biking is possibly not as comfortable and enjoyable. And so people will be like, you know, I can only do like 5 miles before I really don't feel, you know, comfortable, or I get up, my back starts to hurt, or my fingers go numb. And, you know, having your bike properly fit is important to that. And also, if you are riding longer, you know, preventing injuries that can occur from your bike actually not fitting you. So, you know, there's two good reasons to really consider that. And local bike shops and the Sports Medicine Center and other places do bike fitting. And it's important.
And what are the parts of the bike that can be adjusted or should be looked at for a proper fit?
Right. Everything from your handlebars and how they are, and as well as the stem, you know, your seat height, just about every part of a bike can fit you well, or it can be slightly off. And so I think it is just really important, again, to have a professional take a look at that. Not being that professional, I can't really speak to a lot of the specifics, but again, I think it is important, especially for people who are really thinking about doing a lot more biking than they have been. And we see that often when people maybe get an injury, or they're thinking, I'm not going to do as much running as I age, or in retirement. People are like, I really have time. I've really, you know, I've always enjoyed being on my bike, and now I'm going to take it to that next level and really start spending more time on my bike. I think in those windows, it's really smart to consider a bike fit.
Great. And another very common activity once the weather warms up is just getting outside, walking, and running. What are some of the things that we should think about if we're getting back out there after maybe a less than active winter?
Right. Well, I think a couple things that jump into my mind, first of all, is my shoes, or your shoes, or anybody's shoes. Is, you know, again, we get to, we think about our shoes as they look fine. And just like your bike helmet, the thing that makes your shoes really important in terms of knee pain, hip pain, is that the cushioning isn't broken down. And so after a certain number of actual miles in your shoes, you really should replace them and get a new pair of shoes and put them aside for your walking or your running. One of the things I think we all fall into is they're really comfortable and we'll have them on, instead of sort of putting them away to use for when I'm walking, so that the forces that when I step down and touch the ground, whether I'm walking or running, you know, they come up the whole body. And you really want that impact-absorbing material to be in a good state to prevent injuries.
I have a kind of a system is kind of a grandiose word for it, but when I buy a new pair of gym shoes for exercise, the ones that I just finished become my just wearing around, and the ones that used to be those become my gardening gym shoes.
Right.
So I have a three-step process, and then they finally get thrown out at the end.
And Judith, I think that's really smart. I talk to people all the time that they become their lawn mowing shoes. Mm-hmm. You know, and again, because shoes really last, and unless you're really in mud or water or something, they are going to look fine. But again, you know whether that's every 6 months or every 100 to 300 miles, not 100, but 300 to 500 miles, you really want to be replacing your shoes.
We are talking with Jackie Kuda-Bangsberg. She is an exercise physiologist and the UW Health's Fitness Center Manager. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, sitting in for Larry Mueller. You can join in with your fitness questions or comments at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Are you ready to get back outdoors with your exercise? What do you do to prepare, or what advice do you need to get ready for that? Jackie is happy to help. I think another thing that's a safety issue is wearing protective and reflective gear.
Right, especially if you're out early in the mornings, now that the early morning exercisers got moved back into darkness with the time change. And so, again, it's really important to be visible when you're out there, whether it's on a bike or, walking or running, walking your dog, and so many fabrics today have built-in, even shoes, reflective stripes and pieces. And it's just really important to get yourself, seen as possible to keep yourself safe. And I think the other thing that's really interesting is we're sort of in that period of life where so many things are black in terms of clothing. And so it becomes really more important to have something on you that's reflective.
Stylish, but not necessarily safe.
and it's slimming. I like the black. But
So maybe black with a reflective stripe.
Exactly.
On the side. Well, it really anywhere that you walk or run right now, you're going to be seeing some signs of spring. My husband and I took a wonderful walk. We parked at Picnic Point on the west side of Madison, walked all the way along the lake shore downtown, had lunch, then walked all the way back. And it was just great to hear the birds and see the muskrats and everything. But you also have an idea of getting to the zoo.
Right. Now's a great time to see what's going on at the zoo. And, it's a favorite place for people, throughout the summer. But this is a great time. While it's still a little quiet, so you're avoiding some of the bigger crowds, get out and see what's going on over at Vilas Park here in Madison. Check out the animals. And it's nice to be reminded that, the winter is hopefully slowly moving behind us. And it's great to get outside.
And also, you suggest getting your dog out for some training, too.
Right. Well, oftentimes, dogs do more of a backyard thing in the winter. And so we need to also be thinking about getting them out and slowly building up some time, so that they're not hitting the ground just like we aren't, doing what we last did when we were outside. The other thing that is often is that we're not walking on concrete or cement throughout the winter. We're indoors or we're on treadmill belts that have a lot more impact absorbing material, and just being on cement can actually feel different, and you can have some stiffness and achy joints from, again, just getting back out there.
So it might be the same amount of time or intensity that you've been doing on a treadmill, but it's going to feel really different.
Right. And also, there's really a difference, the physics of a treadmill belt moving out underneath you versus being outside propelling yourself forward really use slightly different muscles, to get yourself moving. And so people will be like, I exercise all winter, I can't believe I'm aching, and it's like, it is different. You are changing your environment, and things are slightly altered in that change.
And what about getting motivated? Maybe just that first feel of spring isn't quite enough to get us out there. What are some good ideas for getting us motivated?
Yeah, I think for me, I'm always telling people it's that first step, getting out the door. I think once you've experienced that and you're back out in fresh air, and as you were sharing, there's so much to see. Flowers are going to start to pop, trees are going to start to bud. It's just a great time of year to really get out there and really enjoy it. Whether it's on a bike or it's cleaning your golf clubs up or hitting the golf range so that, again, giving your muscles some chance to get back into shape before you're ready to, play golf or hit the tennis courts, all of those things, it makes some sense to get out there and, so that you're prepared for those first fun experiences and that they're not, something that the next day you think, oh, boy.
Boy, I overdid it.
Yeah.
And maybe signing up for something like a race couple months out.
Right. Having a goal always is helpful. And there's so much. I was downtown over the weekend, and there was just a lot with, the St. Patrick's Day races, and to see people out and about. And, you know, it was such a beautiful weekend that I think there's...
Which mid-March can really go either way.
Really, exactly. It was an extraordinary weather weekend for us, and I think that really helps people as well. I also think to get out and amongst other people who are active really helps motivate you. You know, you sort of, that energy is sort of contagious. You're like, oh, I hadn't thought about that. I should get my bike out. I should, you know, I should enter a 5K or, you know, or even a walk and get myself moving.
And maybe with friends,
right,
or family.
Exactly.
And you just mentioned I should get my bike out. I think it's so easy to get sidelined by the obstacles that really aren't obstacles, but they feel like it. And you have a really good point. Clean out your garage so you can get to all those things.
Right. Well, that's just it. You know, I mean, I think we're all creatures of habit and not always all that tidy. And so it's one of those times where it's like, where are the golf clubs? Where's the tennis racket? Where's my bike? What kind of shape are my shoes in? You know, so I really am prepared and ready to go. And again, cleaning out the garage is probably one of the easiest ways to move those things forward so they're easy to access and you're set to go. And you're right. It's kind of like, oh, I don't really want to, I can't even get to my bike. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to do that right now.
And maybe move the grill towards the front, too.
Exactly. If the grill has not been out, it's ready. It's time.
It is. You also, you talked about golf clubs, also restringing rackets for racket sports.
Right, right. It's also a great time for, you know, to get out and check out the sporting goods stores. As I walked to the studio today, there's a bike store that I just passed that's having a clearance. So you're seeing last year's models trying to get out of stores and new stuff coming in, new merchandise coming in. So whether you're looking for what's new or a good price, it's a great time to hit bike stores. Often have their big sales. Kayak and canoe people are often doing their big expositions. It's a great time to see what's out there. Paddle boards have become really popular, stand-up paddle boards. And it's time to start thinking, what do I want to do this summer? And what steps do I need to take to make that easy so I actually do it?
And yeah, exactly. There's the idea and then there's the actually doing it. So actually, I think there's something about the spring, too, that sometimes we might feel a little more adventurous and think, maybe I should try something new or maybe I should do something a little differently. For people that are in decent shape, not, you know, kind of extreme or top athletes, what are some fun activities that don't feel like, oh, I have to exercise, but are just a fun thing to do that get you moving?
Right. Well, and I think of the lovely lakes in Madison and to get out on them.
Really, all over the state.
Right. Exactly. All over the state. Northern Wisconsin is beautiful. They've probably got a little bit more snow still on the ground than we do and ice on the lakes. But it is time to start thinking like that. And, you know, again, whether that's kayaks or a paddle boat or a canoe or a rowboat or a stand-up paddle board. I mean, there's just so many things out there to be considering. And I think that, you know, there's so much variety. I often encounter people who's like, I don't like to exercise. So it's like trying to move it away from like the gym and outside. And whether that's, you know, a state park sticker and your goal to visit 5 state parks you haven't seen yet. You know, and you're just really trying to find a way that it's an adventure. I philosophically, I believe that a little bit of getting out and starting keeps people moving forward. Only more comes from that. Rarely do people do less. You know, same thing with golfers, you know, different golf courses. Get away from the one you always go to and see what else is out there. Find friends and, you know, try to make it as social as possible. For a lot of people, that's the key. For other people, it's, I want to be out there on my own. And then you start thinking of whether it's on a kayak by yourself or a stand-up paddleboard, you know, hitting a tennis racket against a backboard. You know, it's what works for you and what do you need.
I have to say I fall into, I think, kind of a weird catch-22 in nicer weather because I feel like I should be outside because, especially in Wisconsin, we really value those months where we can be outside. Right. But if I don't get outside, I don't go to the gym either. And so I feel like sometimes I actually end up doing less instead of more.
Right. And I know exactly what you're talking about because it's like, oh, you know, I'm not going to get up early and go to the gym because daylight's longer. I'm going to get out there. My day gets away from me and then I haven't done either. You know, so there is this sort of mix. And, you know, again, I think today even when it's really windy and it's back to March, you know, it's kind of like, ugh, you know, what I didn't do this weekend that I wished I would have done. And it's like, really? It's still a lot better than it was a month ago out there. So I think that, you know, having a plan and trying to find a mix of it. I try to go to like a yoga class. Mm-hmm. So there's something that I know I'm going to do this week for sure. And I try to be as smart as possible about just, you know, even getting out over lunch in case the day does get away from me. And whether even if that's 10, 15 minutes, if the day gets away from me, I'm still ahead of, I'm in a better place than I would have been if I'd avoided that.
And just thought you were going to get to something that you don't
right.
end up getting to.
Exactly.
We are talking with Jackie Kuda-Bangsberg. She's an exercise physiologist and the UW Health's Fitness Center manager. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, sitting in for Larry Mueller. You can join in by calling 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. What's your current fitness exercise regime, and do you need something to spice it up? Jackie is happy to help, and we'd love to hear your ideas of how to stay motivated and how to make sure that you fit that activity in. You can also send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page. That's The Larry Mueller Show. Jennifer Dargan, our on-air producer today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're getting great fitness advice from Jackie Kuda-Bangsberg. And Jackie, you mentioned stand-up paddling mm-hmm. as something that's gotten really popular. And when I hear stand-up paddling, it's standing on basically like a kind of like a surfboard, right? And
right.
and paddling, mm-hmm. standing up. I think, oh, I don't think my core is quite strong enough for that to keep me up on that board.
Right.
And we were going to talk about core strength.
Right.
When we say core, what are we talking about?
Well, I think to simplify it, it's really the midsection of your body from your bottom to your armpits.
Okay.
And it's that trunk that it's really important to have core, not only strength, but flexibility in terms of making movement efficient and to keep you from not injuring yourself, helps with balance, and there's so many posture. There's so many good things about having a healthy core.
And so what are we talking about mainly muscles, but also mm-hmm. bone strength, things like that?
Right. We're talking about everything from your spine and the discs to the supporting musculature that surrounds it. So everything from, you know, really your ribs outward. Mm-hmm. We sit a lot. We have bad posture frequently from sitting a lot. And, you know, trying to get that core as strong as possible and not collapsing it is in our best interest in terms of preventing low back problems. Neck, shoulder, all kinds of problems can arise from just not having a healthy core.
We hear a lot for older people that falls are such a serious issue.
Right.
I'm guessing that
mm-hmm.
a strong core can help prevent falls or help you right. recover more quickly.
Right. You know, your core, again, since it's where most movement starts from, it has a lot to do with balance and falls. So having a healthy core helps you have better agility and balance, and therefore, you know, even if you start to fall, recover quicker mm-hmm. and perhaps, you know, prevent that fall.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really important, and it's important for across the age span as well.
Great. Mm-hmm. We are going to talk specifically about those huge plastic rubber balls that we see that people use. But actually, Pat in Sturgeon Bay has a question about the core, so let's go there. Hi, Pat.
Hi, it's my day.
Yes, happy St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, thank you. Well, you're talking about core. My wife and I were out bicycling yesterday through Pottawatomie State Park. We were dodging a couple of big snowbanks, and we were talking about core. And mm-hmm. we go to the YMCA during the dead of winter, and most mm-hmm. of our time is spent on elliptical machine there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we do a lot of bicycling during the good weather.
Mm-hmm.
And we were wondering, we were talking about core.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're up in our 60s and we're afraid of losing our muscle strength and all that because we're getting old. So we were curious if mm-hmm. our core is going to be better taken care of with the elliptical machine or if we're bicycling or none of the above.
All right.
That's a great question. I think of the machines that you're talking about, an elliptical, cross trainer, a stationary bike. Again, you're getting mostly aerobic activity out of that. It's great for your cardiovascular system. It's great in terms of burning calories. Depending on what kind of an elliptical you're on, it can certainly be you may need to help stabilize to stand up straight. You will definitely be recruiting some of your core muscles. But there's different types of ellipticals, too. If you're on the type of elliptical where you can let go with your hands for at least like a minute or two at a time, then grab it back, you can really get some core work.
Basically your core is keeping you from falling off the elliptical, right?
Exactly. So if you've ever been on an elliptical and you let go with your hands, things change really quickly. You start feeling yourself really kind of sway a little, and trying to get back into alignment and balance that's your core trying to stabilize itself. When I think of really trying to isolate my core, though, and work on strength and flexibility, I'm usually not trying to get that done on an aerobic piece of equipment. And that's where the lead-in that you were talking about, Judith, whether it's a physio ball, a medicine ball, even some more like what you think of calisthenic exercises can certainly work on your core. And it's that strength part and that working on that flexibility that is often off of an aerobic piece of equipment.
So Pat was talking that they were out on their bikes outdoors. Now, does that give you more than a stationary bike, because you're dealing with maybe wind and things like that?
Absolutely. So you'll start to see, just like we were talking about moving from a treadmill to moving outside, walking, same thing is happening on your bike. A stationary bike mimics biking, but once you get outside, you've got to deal with wind, you've got to deal with terrain, and anyone who's been on a bike knows, you go to miss a pothole or a small hole quickly and everything changes. And that's, you need your core to get yourself stabilized in the midst of that. And so in some ways, if you're going to put them in degrees, being on a bike outside it will work your core definitely more than being on a stationary bike inside.
I have a friend who is in her 40s and has kids who are into unicycling, and she is getting into unicycling.
Yeah.
And boy, I have to imagine that your core is working overtime to keep you upright on that.
Right. Again, now we're definitely talking about a continuum.
And the fewer wheels, the better for your car.
No handlebars. Taking your hands out of it really means that your core has to be working.
Great. Thanks for that call, Pat. And you can join in at 1-800-642-1234. Do you have an exercise success story to share? We'd love to hear that. Or do you have a challenge in your life that's preventing you from your ideal exercise routine? Maybe you have an exercise routine that you feel like needs a little jump up to keep you motivated and to keep reaping the benefits of it. Jackie is happy to help. Again, 1-800-642-1234. So let's talk about those big balls we do see in the gyms. And actually, a lot of people are now sitting on them as their office chair. Those balls go by a lot of names.
They sure do. They go. They can be called simply an exercise ball. They're often called a physio ball, a spine ball. And one of the original names is a Swiss ball. The Swiss were using these types of balls early in the 1960s, and hence that I think if you think original, it was originally called a Swiss ball.
And so I've seen them in different sizes. You can do a lot of different exercises on them, first of all.
Right.
But is the size of the ball related to the height of the person?
Yeah. Well, the height and weight of the person. Okay. So they come in different sizes. The packaging will have some guidelines for them. But it can be a little bit more complicated than just your height and weight. So obviously, if you have longer legs, you're going to need a larger ball to sit on. You also, depending on how much weight you have, obviously a heavier person will cause the ball to compress and put you lower, so you might need a larger ball if you're a person of a larger size, regardless of your leg length. So those two things are important. What's most important is when the ball is inflated and you're sitting on it, you're sitting on the center, you're trying to put your feet flat on the floor, your hips should be at about a 90-degree angle.
Okay.
Or a little bit greater than that. So that is the first rule of thumb.
So you don't, if you're sitting on the ball, you don't want your legs to go up before
correct.
They go down at the knee.
They should be going either perpendicular or slightly downward. Yeah, so that's important.
So let's start out about talking about core exercises, even though I know that those balls can be used mm-hmm. for a lot of things. So what are some of the types of exercises or activities you can do on the ball
right.
that help strengthen your core?
Right. So it can be as simple as just sitting on the ball. So if you've never been on one, it's they require when you sit down on it and put your feet flat, they requires your core immediately. Because what the ball does, it's provides you with some instability. So your core has to kick in and work. And if you're sitting on the ball and you're feeling really unstable, step one is to just spread your feet further apart, get yourself a wider base of support. And that's why you're seeing people watch TV or use them as office chairs, because you have to work your core because you don't have a back. And again, the nature of the ball is creating instability, and your core has to work to do that.
So basically, just the act of sitting on it
correct.
Is right. you're exercising.
Right. At least as a base
you're engaging.
To start. Right.
Yeah.
Now, there's also some precautions. People who have an acute back episode pain, mm-hmm. probably not a good thing to, get yourself a ball and sit on it in the midst of an acute episode. Some people with some complex back problems probably should be very cautious and talk to their PT before just deciding to try a spine ball. They definitely are incorporated into rehab programs for people with chronic back problems. It's one of the tools that is tried. And so in terms of core exercises, just starting with sitting on the ball is a great place for most people. Now, certainly, you can take it from there. Again, when we start to talk about the continuum. And the next easiest... basically, not only do you want your feet planted on the mm-hmm. floor, you also want to make sure then that your shoulders, your head, your neck are all aligned, that you're sitting straight.
Which is hard to know unless right. you're looking in a mirror. Do you have some right. tricks for if people do kind of a quick body scan to figure out?
Yeah, I usually try to make sure people have their shoulders back so you're not leaning forward, and we, whenever you talk about posture, you watch everybody sit up.
Like I just did.
Like you just did, and I had to do before I started talking about it even. It's like, oh, right there, that gentle reminder, am I lined up? Gets everyone immediately in better mm-hmm. posture.
So just right. thinking of
just
it.
Just thinking, am I aligned? Straightens most people up. And right there, we've got, a better place. The next step is to try to lift like a foot, or maybe even just lift your heel on one foot up slightly. And you're going to notice things changed. It's as easy as that. And needless to say, the continuum goes crazy.
So that's actually something that, say you're using it at work, mm-hmm. you can be just, basically pedaling your feet a little bit.
Right, right. You can be lifting a heel up. You can be lifting one foot completely up and just seeing, hold that for 30 seconds, 10 seconds, whatever you can do to start with, and alternating legs. Eventually, you could do some marching, and again, that just continues to challenge the core to do those things that seem really easy, but they're not. They're really a little bit more challenging, and depending on how strong your core is. Obviously, you come into using a physio ball and you've got a really great core already from other activities. So there's a lot of ways to get a strong core, and that you'll be like, what is she talking about? That's
this
not
is
hard.
Easy.
Right. But especially as we're aging, the other thing that I really would like to caution people about is that you also don't want to get your physio ball, pump it up, move it to work and sit there for the morning. This is, if you haven't been doing anything, this does require some strength. So, even like maybe starting by sitting on your physio ball, trying that in front of your TV during a commercial. Maybe one.
So kind of like you wouldn't just decide to start running and do a 5K the first day.
Right. And again, you just really want to systematically build up. And I think it's one of the things that we see across the continuum of exercise, whether it's strength training, flexibility, aerobic activity. People want to be able to hit the ground and run, And that's where you get yourself into some trouble and you potentially are, creating injuries that you could avoid if you're just being smart and systematically building and being patient with that process.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Jackie Kuda-Bangsberg. She's an exercise physiologist and the UW Health's Fitness Center Manager. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, sitting in for Larry Mueller. You can join in by calling 1-800-642-1800. 1234. We'd love to hear what exercise you're excited to do during the warmer weather, how you stay motivated, how you get yourself to try new things. We'd love to hear from you. 800-642-1234. Or you can email us at talk@wpr.org. And Jackie, so there are other exercises I've seen people do and perhaps have tried myself. things like a push-up or a plank, but mm-hmm. you are doing it on the mm-hmm. stability ball. Mm-hmm. What are the benefits to incorporating those balls in those ways?
Right. Okay. So anytime you see someone try like an upper body push-up, or a plank position, what the physio ball is doing is it's taking some of your body weight out of the activity. So if you decide I'm going to do some push-ups and you can't, a physio ball is a great way to get you to do some push-ups because, again, you no longer got your whole body weight mm-hmm. into the activity. You have decreased the amount of weight.
But that's mm-hmm. if the ball is under your legs.
That's if the ball is under your stomach or anything
okay.
lower.
Okay.
Right. So as you roll the ball out further, mm-hmm. that's how you're increasing the amount of weight you're lifting. So
if you want to try it, maybe mm-hmm. start with it under your
yeah.
waist,
yep.
move it back to your
pelvis,
thighs,
yep.
your calves.
Correct.
But I was actually thinking about having your arms on it, which is way harder because
right.
instead of a
no.
solid floor,
right.
you're trying to balance.
Right, right. That is not at all how I was thinking about it, just to make that really clear.
So I was like, you're saying it's easier in
right.
my experience.
Not the way you were doing it, Judith.
I was the going full tilt.
Right.
Yeah, from
right.
the start.
Exactly. And so, you know, again, there you can go online and, you know, you can Google things like exercise ball exercises, and you can see all kinds of things out there that you can do. But again, I caution people to just, you know, be smart. I have a family member who we have physio balls in our house. My husband and I are obviously not the same size, so we have two different balls,
yeah.
which people are like, why do you have two? It's like, well, because
yeah.
we don't fit on the same one. And we had family visiting one year, and my husband, who is just like a magic trick on a physio ball that I'm not, was showing people what it looks like.
Uh-huh.
And so people were getting on the different physio balls and obviously had never been on them. So again, I really caution people mm-hmm. that this is something, you know, that you want to start slow with and build up. And just because you see a picture of something doesn't mean it should be something that you're trying.
Right.
You know.
And stability ball is one of the names, which mm-hmm. I think is it's just kind of a mean joke because really it's
right.
very unstable.
Right.
It should be an instability ball. But they can also, besides using it for these, you know, pretty intense
right.
core exercises, they can also be used for things like stretching and other things as well.
Right. You can do some of my favorite things to do on it are some side stretching. So you put it on your side and you can really get a great side bend. The other thing that's interesting to, you know, as a teaching tool for us is squats. So you put the ball behind you against a wall and you're now facing away from the ball, mm-hmm. Feet, you know, pretty good distance wide and in front of you, and just slowly, without really putting a lot of pressure on the ball, roll down to do like a wall sit,
mm-hmm.
A squat activity, and it keeps your posture straight. It's a great exercise to do. And obviously, as you're starting out, you do fewer of them, and you don't have to go down as far.
Mm-hmm.
And a great way to build some quad strength and good posture.
Mm-hmm. I've also seen people laying down, and they have the stability ball between their legs,
yep.
and they bring it up and mm-hmm. basically do kind of a crunch to grab the ball with their
right.
hands.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
there are a lot of ways to use it. If people are thinking, wow, I kind of like the idea of this, but I just mm-hmm. don't feel like I know what to do. What are
right.
some good ways to learn?
Right. So you've got a couple choices. You can, you know, work with a personal trainer in a health club. You can take classes. I don't know what's all out and available in the health clubs, but the WISE and medically based fitness centers have classes, and that's a great place to go to get ideas and to learn how to use it appropriately. I like to think of these stability balls as part of a whole, like sort of like tools,
sure.
you know, so like a medicine ball, like a jump rope, like a stretchy band. This is just another tool to do something, and it gives you some variety. But there are people who really, they're all about you know, stability balls, and they take the same class for years. Because if they don't go to class, they don't do these things, and they have gotten so much better in terms of their flexibility and their core strength, and it's really paid off in terms of their cycling, in terms of their golf game. I mean, we've got all kinds of people who are just like, I have to come to this class because if I don't, here's what I don't do, and how it affects really what they'd like to be doing outside of that class.
We talked about, you know, making sure that your shoes haven't been used too long and things, and tuning up your bike. Stability balls, do they need to be reinflated every once in a while?
Yeah, they come with a pump. And they will lose air over time, so you do want to, you know, put a little air in. As they start to lose their air, then they become less, you know, compressed. They actually become more stable. So things are easier.
Oh, that makes sense.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you're really struggling, you may have overinflated your ball and, you know, take a little air out and get yourself, you know, used to the ball. And then you can always add air in as you become stronger.
We are talking with Jackie Kuda-Bangsberg. She is an exercise physiologist and the UW Health's Fitness Center manager. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. Jennifer Dargan, our on-air producer. We have a couple lines still open. We will be going to the phones in a moment. You can join in at 1-800-642-1234. We are talking about fitness and exercise and staying in shape and getting in shape with Jackie Kuda-Bangsberg. She's an exercise physiologist and the UW Health's Fitness Center manager. And we have some callers that would like to join in. So let's go to the phone. Carly in Kenosha is up first. Hi, Carly.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, I was calling because I want to improve my balance. It seems that now that I'm 50, when I went on the internet and did the test to step, you know, stand on one leg and close your eyes and see how long you could do that when you lift, you know, when you lift up your one leg, and I barely could stay 4 or 5 seconds, and that kind of disturbed me. So I wanted to see if you had some suggestions or advice about that.
And balance becomes important, especially over the age of 50. And I think that what you're describing is a real challenge for many people, especially once you close your eyes.
Yes.
So I like to get people to keep their eyes open and, you know, just start doing the stand on one leg. You know, there's opportunities throughout the day. If you're on the telephone, I usually try to get people, especially even in their offices, if you're working, get up when you're on the phone, if you can, if your cord will let you. It's a great opportunity to really work on your balance. And, you know, starting, you know, with just a little bit off the ground, you know, just lift your heel up and start there. And make sure you're doing both sides so you stay, you know, balanced and as symmetrical as you can. But then you can obviously get to lifting your leg higher up. You can certainly start working on closing your eyes. I think that yoga is a really good thing.
I was going to say that. I think people think of yoga as flexibility, but which I have definitely noticed.
Absolutely.
But boy, my balance is so much better.
Right, right. And then depending on what else you're doing, I mean, we build balance into almost everything we do at the center, so that if it's embedded in all of our classes, and it can be things like you know, shifting from one foot to the other. You know, in a cross training class, it can be, you know, doing things on one foot with a medicine ball or a band. All of those things really challenge your balance. And, you know, again, I can't stress the importance of balance, especially as we age, we start to lose that. And there's just, it's really, it's crucial that we all are working on it.
And I have to say, just a little trick that I've learned in yoga classes is psychologically, if you stand next to a wall, even if you're not touching it, you feel more stable.
Right.
So, you know, if standing on one foot is hard, even standing next to the wall, even if you don't touch it, just knowing it's there.
Right. So you've got walls, you've got a back of a chair, you've got your desk, you know, something near you so that if you do start to lose your balance, you have it. One of the other things that people often don't think about is water exercise, because you are constantly being challenged by the motion of the water.
Oh, I wouldn't think of it in that way.
And to it helps in terms of your balance. So, you know, again.
And no impact.
And no impact. And for people who are looking for something new to do that might, you know, also help their balance, I think water activities, you know, whether that's outdoor pools coming up soon or, you know, your local pools, that water exercise is a great way to work on your balance.
Does that help, Carly?
Well, I think so. I mean, I just wondered if you can actually really improve your balance.
Oh, absolutely.
It's all downhill from here.
No. As a matter of fact, it's not one of those things you need to lose. It is one of those things that you need to incorporate into your routine so that you can maintain your balance. I've got people at the center who are in their 90s whose balance you would not believe. So, you know, I know you don't have to lose it.
You just need to work it.
Yeah. And the other thing I'd say about balance, it's one of those things in which you quickly see improvements, you know, if you're consistent with it. You know, so again, take any opportunity you can to be on one foot, to shift your weight from one foot to the other. You know, find a yoga class. All of those things will really help.
And I realized, because I do know that my balance has improved, especially mm-hmm. from yoga, this winter, I suddenly realized one day as I was walking pretty quickly to the bus, mm-hmm. I thought, wow, I used to be so much more hesitant mm-hmm. on even potentially icy sidewalks,
right.
You know, I would be really hesitant and I would be very tense. And I realized that I just had so much more confidence right. in my footing. And I really think it's because I just know that my balance is so much better.
Right. And Judith, I totally agree. I think it definitely gives you confidence. And also, if you do start to slip or fall, having that kind of balance, you know, and again, especially, you know, coordinated also with core strength, that what you can recover from quickly when you are in a situation like that is amazing.
You can catch yourself.
Yeah, you can catch yourself. Yeah.
And just like you were saying, Jackie, that when you mentioned posture, everyone sits up taller. I noticed that our on-air producer, Jennifer, was standing up while she was on the phone. So
way to go, Jennifer.
So you're a good influence on all of us. Let's go next to Ray in Milwaukee. Hi, Ray.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm calling because in the past, and I'm 50-something, but in the past, I would, like in the spring or to get the few extra winter pounds off or whatever, I would run.
Mm-hmm.
But in 2011, I had a hip replaced.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, I've taken up spinning because mm-hmm. it kind of gives me that exhilaration and the quick results. But the only thing is that I only feel like I can do it with the class, and that's kind of limited to like a couple of times a week.
Uh-huh.
So I was wondering if there's something else, if I can transition the spin into cycling, or,
mm-hmm.
you know, I haven't really thought about, you know, how I could get the type of workout I used to get from running.
Right.
Well, good for you, first of all, Ray.
Right.
Jackie, why don't you explain what spinning is for
yeah.
people who aren't familiar?
Spinning is indoor cycling. It's on a bike that has a weighted flywheel in the front, so it's different than being on a bike outside. And it's a high, can be. The nice thing about spinning is you control your own resistance, so it really is a great activity for a wide range of people, but it's a great activity for people who are looking also for that high intensity thing.
And it, mm-hmm. you sometimes are sitting when you're pedaling, sometimes
right.
you're up off the seat.
Right. There's interval training,
yeah.
so you can be up out of your seat. And again, what I do like about it, though, is if I'm even a beginner, I don't have to get out of my saddle. I get to control my resistance. So it's worth trying even if you're not looking for that high intensity
mm-hmm.
thing. But again, I'm really impressed that Ray found that for herself after her hip replacement, something that still gets her that thing. Because it is one of those things as we age, if we're having knee and hip replacements, and even as we age, that if we were runners, this is something that oftentimes people are really missing, that
mm-hmm.
transition to walking often doesn't have that thing for some of us.
Mm-hmm.
And so spinning certainly and obviously seems to have worked well with her hip replacement. Other things, you know, in terms of running, I often think, again, I come back to water sometimes, is there's some deep water classes that are higher intensity. You're also in the water. I think that what I would also suggest for Ray is to call back next week when the PTs are here, because I also want to be cautious. We do have a hip
right.
that, you know, they may have some specific guidelines around.
So, Ray, on Monday, the physical therapist will be on, and they often field these kind of questions. Have you tried any kind of water exercise, Ray?
I haven't. Like, I go swimming with the grandkids, but
mm-hmm.
I don't really have a routine I've done in the water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a water class, like deep water classes often are higher intensity. They're buoyant, so you don't have the weight-bearing activity. And I would love for, like, Lori and Bill and whoever's on next week to weigh in on that in terms of a hip replacement. But it might be another option, too, that gets you that kind of higher intensity exercise.
Ray, right. If someone is thinking of starting spinning, what advice would you offer?
Initially, I had to have a seat, a padded seat. Mm-hmm. But now I realize I'm not on the seat that often because of the squats and the push-ups and, you know, being up off the seat.
Right.
But initially, I would get a seat because that would have discouraged me because I felt like an adult with diaper rash.
So Ray, what else have you found has worked and not worked with your hip replacement?
Well, I do yoga. I was listening to the conversation about yoga, and you know, your balance is, my gait was affected for maybe 5 years or more while my hip was going out.
Mm-hmm.
So the yoga was tremendous in the balance and the improving my gait and, you know, confidence. So, I do yoga a couple of times a week, but I just really, you know, need that high intensity thing that, you know, I just couldn't get from anything but running. I do get from spinning, though.
Right. And I'm really pleased that worked out really well for you.
And you are just you are an inspiration, Ray. So thank you so much for calling. You can call in as well at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'd love to hear what gives you that rush of exercise, what keeps you motivated, or if you need some ideas, Jackie Kudabangsberg is happy to help. Let's go next to Eric in Madison. Hi, Eric.
Hi, I just tuned in recently, and so maybe you addressed something like this already, but when you were talking about the stability balls, I was reminded of as a child, and I have a child as well, who has one of those the bouncy balls where you sit on and you bounce. And I'm just wondering if your guests can have any comments on that's a good thing for kids to kind of, you know, build that core.
So what you're talking about, Eric, does it have a handle on it?
Yeah. So like it's a handle, you sit on it, and then you kind of, well, the kid bounces, you know, around. Yeah.
Wow, I haven't thought of one of those in a long time, and now I want one. Those were fun. We call them hoppity balls.
Something like that. And again, a physio ball is in theory similar. And actually, thank you, Eric, for the call, because it reminds me that one of the first things you want to do on a physio ball, when you get yourself on the right size ball, feet planted, sitting up straight, is just a little bit of bouncing, because that will actually get you in good posture, believe it or not. And, you know, it's another great, easy activity to work your core. And then like rolling your hips side to side and front to back. Amazing work with just a little bit of motion. But I do like the analogy to that bouncy ball as a kid, because again, I'm always trying to find ways to make exercise fun for people. And, you know,
I want one.
She didn't want one until it was a bouncy ball.
It's all in the marketing.
Exactly.
Right? Well, so we're not talking about the ones that have the handles, but it's the same principle.
Again, it is, you know, actually, once you have the handle and stuff, you have a little bit more stability because you have a handle. You know, it sort of changes things. But at the same time, you know, it is the exact same thing because it's an inflated ball that you're bouncing on.
Right.
You know, so.
All right. Does that help, Eric?
Yeah, that was some good information. Thanks.
Sure. Thanks for that call. And let's go to Margaret in Elgin, Illinois. Hi, Margaret.
Hi. I'm glad to talk to you. I'd like to say something about balance.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
We have a Tai Chi class for senior citizens, and when I started, I could not lift one foot and hold it. And now I can and sweep it. I'm just amazed what it's done for my balance. And my neurologist said he recommends Tai Chi for everyone of his patients.
Wow.
With any kind of balance issues or instability.
That's great, Margaret.
Right. And thank you, Margaret, for the call, because, it is something I certainly should have mentioned along with yoga. Tai Chi is an amazing activity. Qigong, Tai Chi, yoga, all of the grouping of classes that are seen more as Eastern practices. Mm-hmm. Amazing for your balance.
Tai Chi and Qigong are, how would you describe them, Jackie?
Gentle motion. But very much working your balance. Nice, slow, rhythmic activity that does shift your weight from side to side. Again, some of, you know, it's also used for stress reduction because, again, it's a slower motion. But I think sometimes the thing that we forget is that slowing things down requires us to do things that that really do challenge our balance and challenge our core. And it, like even when you're doing free weights, the slower you go, so momentum is taken out of the activity, the harder the activity is.
The more control
the
motion.
The more control the motion is. And Tai Chi is a beautiful, beautiful activity to watch and to participate in. And there are most senior centers have Tai Chi classes, and we're seeing kids doing Tai Chi, again, settling energy, which is really important, as well as that whole balance improvement is certainly aspects of Tai Chi.
I liked also that Margaret brought up, you know, that they have a group at their senior center, because it seems like especially things like Tai Chi, yoga to a certain extent, are very adaptable even to people who are chair bound, or can't stand for long periods of time.
Right. And we're seeing with yoga, Pilates, Tai Chi, adaptive forms. So, you know, as the population is aging or to fit the needs of the masses, you know, again, we're not all built exactly the same. There are, you know, different versions being taught. If you look at a yoga studio or just yoga in Madison, the different types of yoga that's being taught, you know, is again, amazing. There's something out there that will fit your needs if indeed that's what you're looking for.
We have just about a minute before we go to the news, and I want to encourage our listeners to join in, and we'll be going back to the phones right after the news. You can join in at 1-800-642-1234, talking about balance, talking about core strength, talking about getting our exercise outdoors. Any and all of those are fair game for Jackie Kuda-Bangsberg. She's an exercise physiologist and the UW Health Fitness Center's manager. And you mentioned Pilates, and I definitely want to come back to Pilates after the news, Jackie, because that's, I mean, that's really targeting the core. And it actually came out of physical therapy.
Correct.
Right?
Yep.
So there's a lot to talk about there. Again, Jackie Kuda-Bangsberg, and you can join in 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@WPR.org or post a question or comment on our Facebook page. That's The Larry Mueller Show. We'll take a quick look at the news from NPR and WPR, and then we will be back. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, sitting in for Larry Mueller. It can be easy to skip exercise because you're too busy, too tired, or ironically, too out of shape. But how fit you are can really have an impact not only on how long you live, but on your quality of life, too. Hi, I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, sitting in for Larry Mueller. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're fortunate to have Jackie Kuda-Bangsberg with us today. She's an exercise physiologist and the UW Health's Fitness Center manager. She's sharing great advice for getting and staying in shape. And Jackie, thanks again for coming by. It's a lot of fun.
Thanks, Judah.
Well, we have some open phone lines, so you can join in at 1-800-642-1234. Do you feel like your balance could be better? Wonder how to improve that? Or maybe you hear a lot about core strength and want to work on that. Jackie is happy to offer advice and examples from her own career. And we were just talking on the break about our own exercise challenges and successes. So we'd love to hear those from you as well. Let's go to the phones. And Barb in Nakusa is up. Hi, Barb.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My mom, she's 87. She had a stroke last October, and she's back. She can walk and everything now, but she has to use a walker, and she's really frustrated with that. And I was wondering if we could join a yoga class together and if that would help get her balance.
Yeah, you know, I think that, I guess what I'd say in answer to that is it really depends on who the instructor is. So
and the style of yoga.
And the style of yoga. So what I would do, Barb, what I would suggest is that you look into what's available in your community and you visit and see how you do. And if you talk to the instructor and share that you have an 87-year-old mother who's recently had a stroke but seems to have recovered pretty well, you know, would there be options for her in that class? You know, and again, that's really hard to answer without knowing what you have around. But that's, you know, if what you're describing was my situation, that's what I would do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Barb, did she have any kind of rehab work done, or, you know, was she in a rehab program after the stroke? Because maybe that person would have some ideas too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was. She was for 2 months. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, now is she has a very touchy heart, so they don't want her to work that hard.
Right, right.
So that's why I was hoping a yoga class would be what help her get back to more functional.
Yeah, and one of the other things that I would suggest, you know, again, looking for in your community is a chair-based exercise program for seniors. Oftentimes, the things that you can do seated in a chair, light exercises can really help improve balance. And they're things that we just don't do sitting at home on our own. And again, it would be social for her and get out and about. And those instructors at senior centers and senior programming are really are typically well-versed.
Mm-hmm. Jackie, I think that one of the kind of well-known programs is it Silver Sneakers?
Silver Sneakers is a program that offers discounts to inside of health clubs and Y's throughout the community. And again, you'll find a wide variety of instructors, mm-hmm. But I would do my shopping and chat with instructors. There's some incredible people out there who've worked with a wide variety of people and really like diversity and a big range in their class and their patient and kind, and hopefully you can find someone up in the Nakusa area that would fit that for you.
Okay, that sounds really good. Thank mm-hmm. you so much.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Barb.
Thanks for the call.
And really nice that mm-hmm. she's trying to help her mom get
right
back into things.
Right, because at 87, you know, if you were relatively active and out and about, a stroke is certainly a setback, but that she's back being able to walk and stuff,
that's great.
Certainly we want to move on to that next step.
Great. And you can join in at 1-800-642-1234. Speaking of yoga, Rebecca said on Facebook, I do yoga 4 to 7 times per week, at least one or two at a vigorous level with the others moderate intensity. I used to lift weights and haven't done that in over a year. Her question is yoga enough? She says she's 54 years old and in good health. What do you think, Jackie?
I would. My question back to Rebecca would be, are you able to do all the things you want to do? You know, I think that yoga certainly, depending on, she said twice a week, it's a vigorous form of yoga. I'm guessing she's probably doing pretty well. Mm-hmm. You know, there's power yoga out there, Ashtanga yoga, different forms that are really vigorous workouts and require a lot of strength and agility and balance to accomplish. If that's what we're talking about, I would suspect she's in really good shape.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So really, again, every case is different. So
right.
If Rebecca's in physical shape that allows her to live life to the fullest, whatever that means for her,
right,
then she's on the right path.
Exactly. And yeah, you know, I certainly do believe that there are forms of yoga that can replace some weight training.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that brings up a good point, even though Rebecca didn't say it specifically, but a lot of yoga is actually using your own body as resistance, and you're pushing up or pulling down or mm-hmm. using your own body weight. Are there other types of exercises that really, you know, take advantage of our own body kind of as the tool, as the prop?
Right, and that's kind of the trend that we're seeing these days in types of, like, especially exercise classes, whether it's TRX, yoga, vigorous forms of yoga. We're certainly using, in cross-training classes as well, where, you know, you're using your own body weight instead of a lot of props or equipment. And it's functional in nature because it's usually doing motions your body actually has to do in life. Mm. And so there's a lot of draw towards that. And at the same time, we're watching certain trends in exercise kind of decreasing and kind of being hard to find. Zumba is certainly on a downside. Some indoor cycling is starting to kind of fade. And it's kind of the nature of exercise.
Mm-hmm. And Zumba is a dance.
Right. Zumba is a dance class. Again, obviously indoor cycling in some communities is really still doing very well. In other communities, it's really starting to drift away. Same thing with Pilates. I think we're at a place where there's still some Pilates groups and classes out there, but it's starting to fade a little bit too, and you're seeing more of this functional fitness stuff and yoga really grow into those spaces.
Yoga just seems to be going up and up and up. I keep thinking there can't possibly be a market for all these new yoga places, and then they seem to be doing well. But you talked about that Pilates is going down. And before the news, we touched on Pilates, but mm-hmm. Pilates is really very focused on that core that we've been talking about so much. Mm-hmm. Explain mm-hmm. Pilates, because there's mat-based Pilates, but then there's also equipment Pilates.
Right, right. There's a Pilates bed that is used. I'm trying to figure out words to articulate and describe Pilates on the radio, but it definitely is a strengthening activity. We have Pilates classes at our center. We have adaptive Pilates classes for people who, you know, really want to be working on their core, but really are not in a place where they're fit enough to really do traditional Pilates. And so, it's, again, really strength, flexibility, kind of this rolled together, incredible core mm-hmm. Workout.
I think what's interesting about Pilates is that it came out of basically physical therapy and helping people. Joseph Pilates, I believe it was, wanted to help people recover from injuries, and so kind of created this system.
Right. And exactly. You know, it comes back to the whole how essential your core and your core being healthy and strong is to movement, that it comes out of physical therapy, helping people recover from injuries. It speaks again to that sort of returning to this essential need for core strength and again, flexibility.
So you talked about the trends. It just makes me laugh kind of that even in something as basic as like fitness and exercise that there are trends and things come in and out of fashion. And you said the American College of Sports Medicine really kind of tracks those things.
Right.
So other than the types of exercise that really use our own body as the props and the counterweight and things like that, are there other trends that are on the rise?
I'm trying to think. I think those are the biggest right now. Obviously, yoga continues to be out there. Trying to think of what else surprised me in the list. I think the things that stood out, well, and again, you know, speaking of trends, step classes have certainly, I think it's virtually impossible to find a step class right now. But again, these things are also cyclical in nature. Mm-hmm. They'll be back.
Just like fashion.
Right, just like fashion. They'll be back, or some form of them will be back. Not anything else really jumps into my head in terms of new. Rock climbing walls and things like that continue to be out there.
It can be tricky. We were talking a little bit how much it can kind of throw you if, say, your instructor that you've gone to for a particular class is gone all of a sudden. But, you know, I can only imagine if someone just loves step aerobics and now can't find them. I mean, I guess you could try to do it at home.
Right, right. You can certainly try to do it at home. You can certainly build it into like a circuit weight training or a circuit cross training class. Mm-hmm. We use them at the center. We still have them. You know,
the steps are there, just not the classes.
Steps are there, just not whole groups of people stepping together. You know, so they're still an incredible tool that, is are very useful to a lot of different people.
Let's go back to the phones, and Gail in Upper Michigan is up next. Hi, Gail.
Hi.
Hi.
I had a question. I've been doing quite a bit of walking and running using the treadmill, and I've been doing some snowshoeing, some cross-country skiing, using MyFitnessPal and watching calories, keeping it at a strict 1,590 every day, and just can't seem to get anything to budge. I'm wondering what is a good option that I can work into that on the other days, because I'm not close to fitness centers or anything like that. So I've used yoga in the past, Zumba in the past, and I do like those, but
So you're trying to get your weight to budge, right?
Right.
Okay.
We're talking a couple months of this.
Okay, I was wondering, how long are we talking about? Like 8 weeks?
Yeah, probably 2 to 3 weeks. I mean, 2 to 3 months.
Two to three months. Okay. Well, you know, again, it's a complicated system. So what I really try to get people to do is a couple of things. It's not to just use the scale. You know, your clothes, how are you feeling? Do you have more energy? Those things are really key to hang on to. The next thing that I really try to emphasize with people is if you have not been exercising and you start exercising, there's just so much going on. So you hopefully are burning some fat. Hopefully you're eating enough calories that you are, you know, fueling the activity and not putting yourself into some kind of deprivation state, which can be really hard to overcome. You know, so to make sure you're eating healthy, well-rounded, getting enough calories to be counterbalancing, you know, your metabolism and your workouts. And that's key, to start to watch weight go down. And the next piece is, you know, are you already at a good weight and you just want to be at a lower weight? You know, so again, these questions are complicated. But I'm happy to hear you're running and that you're walking. I'm assuming that you're feeling fitter, and that's good.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So can you do the same workout the next day?
Yes,
okay.
I can.
Okay.
And, except when I do the cross-country skiing or
right.
the something, I need to take a day off mm-hmm. after. But
Gail, how old are you?
Mm-hmm. I'm 42, mm-hmm. and BMI is just like a point or two over, so I really am just trying to get maybe even 10 pounds, but it's kind of that mid-40 stage I'm seeing. Mm-hmm. So I want to mm-hmm. keep on it. I just couldn't understand why it doesn't move at all.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. So. You know, do you have the ability to check in with a dietitian or a nutritionist in your area?
Actually, yes, I work with one. So.
Okay. Well, that should work. You know. Yeah, because, again, sometimes it's even, you know, what you're choosing to eat that makes up the calories that you're taking in. You know, I think that is as important. It sounds like your exercise is pretty well out there. You're walking and running how many days a week?
3 to 4.
3 to 4.
And I do mm-hmm. at least 40 minutes a day when I do it.
Okay.
About 3 miles. So.
Great. Okay. Are you doing anything for strength and flexibility?
I just started with some arm weights, and I wasn't mm-hmm. sure if that's going to be adequate or if there's mm-hmm. something more I should add in.
Mm-hmm. You know, again, anything that you can do, because, again, if you're primarily snowshoeing, walking, and running, we're talking lower body, you know, so something for your upper body, especially women as they're aging. So anything from simple free weights to planks, you know, some simple calisthenics will be helpful. Sit-ups, you know, really controlled, slow, partial sit-ups. You don't want to flail around and harm yourself. But, you know, I think those things are important to add in, and you might find them helpful to both your strength and even to your walking and running, believe it or not. Upper body strength helps. You know, some of those things might make it a better, well-rounded piece for you.
Thanks so much for that call, Gail. And you know, mm-hmm. I have to say, as someone actually on the farther end of 40s mm-hmm. instead of Gail's earlier end, it's a good time to really mm-hmm. kind of be keeping an eye on things because things do change.
They do. You know, it's a challenge for us as women to, you know, to stay as active and try to keep up with our slowing down metabolism.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the phones, and Maureen in Milwaukee is next. Hi, Maureen.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is getting back into exercise routines after surgery. Mm-hmm. I'm 60. I'm going to have a hysterectomy in the next couple of weeks. I do Pilates and an aerobic workout several times a week at least, and walk, and have some concerns about getting back into an active routine.
Right. That's smart to be thinking ahead.
I was thinking the same thing.
I'm like, I'm so proud of you. Yeah. So, again, your surgeon is certainly going to have recommendations for you post-surgery. I'm sure a lot of the core and exercises will not be on the docket for a while. But again, you do want to return to walking and light activity post-surgery as soon as they'll let you. And in some cases, it's, you know, there's no restriction. So it will really depend on their guidelines. But it will really help with the recovery process to get back to exercise. But you also don't want to overdo it. Mm-hmm. So be sensible. Your body's going to need time to recover post-surgery.
And it's going to be really focused on that recovery.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so,
okay.
And again, you know, if you've been exercising up to the time that you go to surgery, on the other side, I think recovery is usually better for people who've been active. Of course, all kinds of circumstances could arise that would not make that true. But again, and just be, you know, sensible in terms of systematically building back up post-surgery.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks mm-hmm. for that, Maureen. One of the things I love the most is when our listeners want to help each other out, and we have a couple really good tips and advice that I want to make sure we have time to share. Dan in Milwaukee emailed, he loves cycling, but he says, I can't commute to work entirely on a bike like I would like to. However, I can usually park my truck a distance from my home, so I'm forced to bike to it in the morning and from at home from wherever I've parked at night. That way I can arrive at my job in my truck and look professional professional, but still sneak in a considerable ride in the morning and evening. Got to be prepared with rain gear just in case, and I usually pack a lunch, so my messenger bag comes in handy. Mm-hmm. That's a great idea. So that's really thinking creatively
right.
about what the circumstances are. It's not an all or nothing.
Right, and I love hearing that. You know, even, you know, parking just slightly further away and adding those steps. I love watching people's strategies, mm-hmm. and that was great.
And then going back, we had the woman who was calling about her mom who had a stroke, wondering about yoga, and Catherine in Marshfield couldn't stay on the line, but she wanted to pass on that she's a home care therapist who works with a lot of elderly clients. She refers them to the Aging and Disability Resource Centers in their area, and they're mm-hmm. all over the state. They offer Tai Chi, strengthening classes, and more, and she says many of the classes are free or at a deep discount.
Fabulous. Thank you for sharing.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the phones and Matt in Stevens Point. Hi, Matt.
Hi, how are you doing today? Doing
well. Thanks for calling.
Well, thank you. It's a great show. It's a great topic. Reason I'm giving a call is with this topic is I'm actually a fencing coach in central Wisconsin, and I represent classes in Stevens Point, in Marshfield, and actually one in Granton as well. And you would be surprised how much of these topics actually get covered with this sport. And the nice thing about it is for the people who want something with a little bit more, say, edge to it, something with a little competition.
No pun intended, right?
Yeah, no, exactly. No, with me, it's always pun intended. But we work a lot with flexibility. A lot of what we do, sometimes I refer to it as dancing with swords mm-hmm. or yoga with swords because it's a lot of flexibility. And when you think sports, a lot of people think, oh, this is a young person's game or this is, you know, whatever. I have worked with people as young as 9 all the way up to people up in their 70s recovering from, mm-hmm. you know, other ailments. Men, women, co-ed, and it gives you hand-eye coordination and it gives you a lot of that core strength and flexibility that you've been talking about as well.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And coordination, I think, would be amazing.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, Matt.
Yes, hand-eye coordination, especially.
Yeah.
Matt, thanks for the call. And what a great idea. You know, I think of fencing, and Matt indirectly mentioned dancing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, tap dancing, ballroom dancing, you know, line dancing. There's just so many ways to get activity in that is outside of the gym, is outside of sports, classic sports that we think about. And, you know, I really appreciate that call.
And who doesn't like exercising with a sword?
Exactly.
Thank you so much for that, Matt. We talked about stability balls quite a bit earlier, and Sheila emailed. She says, I'm fat. Will the sitting on the stability ball be a good start? And how does she choose a ball?
Mm-hmm. Sheila, let's see. I think that for people who want to lose weight and are, you know, my first choice usually is walking. If walking doesn't appeal to you, get the ball. I mean, again, start somewhere, you know, and choosing a ball on the back of packaging, they give you guidelines. That's a good place to start. Get your ball inflated, sit on your ball, feel stable on your ball, do some bouncing. It's a great place to begin something. And I really encourage our listeners today, no matter how old you are, what kind of shape you're in, you know, find something that you enjoy doing and try to stick with it. Judith and I talked about derailing our exercise programs over the break and how important planning is.
Mm-hmm.
I love the caller from the person who's going to have surgery and already
yes.
thinking about that. Planning is essential, and whether that's how I'm going to fit it in during the day, what my options are when my plan gets derailed, my instructor moves away, who I really loved, and I can't find someone that I do. What am I doing in those times? And I really challenge everybody to be creative
mm-hmm.
And finding ways to do things. We've worked with people over the years who, you know, figured it out in their own homes, whether that was walking up and down their steps or around their island, you know, while they were recovering and just getting up. Get up, everybody, please.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, it's, of course, it's hard if you look at yourself and think, oh, I'm just so out of shape. But, mm-hmm. you know, everybody starts somewhere.
Right.
And the important thing is to start.
Right. Exactly.
Jackie Kuda-Bangsberg is an exercise physiologist and the UW Health's Fitness Center manager. Jackie, in just a minute we have left, what would you send people out the door with motivation?
You know, again, that I really want people to give this a try. Get up, move more. I think that what I know is that you'll feel better and try to be as consistent as possible and just even start dreaming and thinking of what it is you'd like to do and start making steps towards that.
Great advice. Thank you so much for coming by.
Thanks, Judith.
Lots of fun. Well, talking, Jackie just inspired us to think of what our goals are and how to get to them. Tomorrow at 11, we're going to talk with a young woman who is living a zero-waste lifestyle. She decided that she did not want to contribute anything to the landfill, and in 2 years, her garbage fits into one mason jar. So we'll find out how she does it and what we can learn from her. And then tomorrow at 11:45, we're going to talk with two scientists who are tagging honeybees to track their migration and to figure out how we can support those endangered pollinators. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, sitting in for Larry Mueller on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.